Anything in life we decide to depend upon, it's a moment of faith to make sure it's really going to last. And we won't go into that too much, because if we started thinking of all the things we depend upon and the chance is that they wouldn't come through for us, we could get to be pretty nervous people. But I'm thankful that we have a God who's over all, above all, created the world, and is able and worthy to be depended on. And so that's a little of what we want to look in today, is depending on Jesus for deliverance. Let's bow our heads and pray for a moment. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that you are completely dependable in every way. I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against that day. You are completely dependable, Lord. Lord, as we open your word, God, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit. You have proved time and time again that your desire is to speak to us through your Holy Spirit, leading and guiding in the words that are said, that it's not for us to control this word and to speak of our own minds or our own thoughts, but God, for your Holy Spirit to have freedom. So Lord, this morning as we gather together, would you have freedom? Help us to allow you to have freedom both to speak to us and Lord also to enable us to receive it and allow it to be written on our hearts in the way you see it needs to be. We believe in this completely with full faith, God, and we ask you to do it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we want to maybe have a main text that I'll give you in just a moment, but I wanted to read a verse for you first as we lead into that. And the verse is in Romans 5. And while you're flipping over there, I'm going to write our title on the board. Dependence on Christ for deliverance. And I may come back to it, and I may make the point again, because these are things God has put on my heart, and I believe he put it on my heart to share this as dependence on Christ for deliverance, specifically instead of using the word salvation. Now, you can interchange them. But this morning, I want to address the fact that sometimes we don't allow the word salvation to extend to its full meaning in our lives. And so I use the word deliverance this morning to allow that word to extend to its full meaning and clarity. And maybe we can take that and think about salvation in those terms more and what it really means to us and how it's not a moment, but it's a life that God, Christ has given us, and he works to save us daily and throughout our lives. God is constantly at work through Christ in our lives to deliver us and to keep us. And I thank God that he is. Romans 5, I mentioned that, and obviously you've all beat me there, but I'm going to turn to it now. And it says, 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've heard that verse before. We believe in salvation through Jesus. All right. What the Lord has put on my heart is the first word. It almost could have just said, I could have almost just written dependence on the board this morning. But I want to be specific with what we're depending on. Because we will read that verse and say salvation is in Jesus sometimes, and not get, maybe not really let it sink home what that verse is really saying. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what that tells me, now I go from the state of saying I've just been set free to make decisions in my life, and I'm instead, as I let it sink in, I realize, hold on a minute. If it's through Jesus, what moment of my day do I want to be at risk of not being where I need to be with the Lord? Are you okay with there being a few moments in your day or there being a few hours where you're at risk of not being where you need to be with the Lord? I'm not. I'm not okay with that. I want to be ready whenever the Lord comes. I want to be ready if he comes now. I want to be ready if he comes in 5 minutes. I want to be ready if he comes tomorrow. I know not the day or the hour, and you don't either. Nobody does, not even the Son. Jesus said that he didn't even know what it was, that only the Father knew that moment. I'm not okay with there being a moment where I'm not ready for Jesus to show up and say, guess what? It's now. The Father said, go get my children. And here I am. And the skies are opening up and the trumpet is sounded. I'm not okay with not being ready. Amen. And so suddenly I stop thinking that I've been saved and now I'm just living my life. And I realize the dependence that I have on Christ for every moment of every day, because it says through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It didn't say, that implies that I need him at all times, that I need to have a dependence on him. That it's not okay for me to just be me. It's not okay for me to just see what happens in life. It's not okay for me to, now I was going to say try the reins. As the Lord hands us things, we put our hands to it. But you know, in myself, just to grab the reins and to try the reins, I don't want to see what that horse is going to do in my hands. I want to say, Lord, put your hands on me, you know, or what, however we do this, that you're in control. If you take the reins or you put your hands on my hands or whatever it is, I don't want to try the reins in of myself. I don't want to see the results. I don't want to have the bruises, but I also don't want to be in a moment where I'm not ready. And I'm not paranoid. This is not a truth of paranoia. This is a truth of peace, actually. But it's something that really we struggle as humans to let it really sink in, what it means to depend on the Lord at all moments, and that we need to. And without meaning to, sometimes we're taking the reins in and of ourselves. And this morning, the Lord, I feel like, has a burden for us to just, as much as we can, as much as the Lord can help us, to just let go of the reins, to just sink into a dependence upon him. That can be, anytime we do that in life, it's a little bit like, I'm not sure I really want to do this. I remember, I've told the story before, but Amber and I rode a two-seater bicycle one time when we were dating, and I got on the front, and I was pedaling and steering, and we were riding along just fine, and then got time for Amber to do it, and I had a hard time picking my feet up off the ground. I had my feet on the ground, and I was just standing there. I didn't have any control. I was just going wherever she wanted to go, and I really struggled with it. I wasn't ready to depend on her to be the one who was taking care of the situation. She was probably better at it than me, but I wasn't. And that's such a good point to say. She was probably better at it than me. That didn't make me ready to depend on her. I had to make a decision to commit. Say, okay, here, it's yours. And I'm not sure I ever did that whole trip, the whole ride. I think my feet finally, I think what happened, if I remember right, she finally said, you know what? I'll get back in the back and you just drive. We need to try it again sometime and see if I'm any better now. But we need to learn to depend. That's what I'm talking about. It's that thing where we say, yes, I'm going to depend on the Lord. I'm going to get on the bike. And our feet are still on the ground. You're not really depending on him. You're still trying to control things and to make them work out and make sure you've got it under control. But we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to pick our feet up. We got to commit to him. And so we want to just talk about that a little today. We want to look in Psalms 130. And I definitely think this can be a salvation message this morning. A deliverance message this morning. A moment of salvation for anyone who needs that. But I think it can also be a message to those of us who have been saved and are saved, to realize the daily nature of salvation, that God's working daily, and that daily we have to work to learn to allow him to be our help and to be him to fix the situations we're in, him to help us anchor on the rock. So let's think about that a little bit. It says here in Psalms 130, verse 1, it says, out of the depths. And so we just want to stop right there for a moment. When we think about this, out of the depths, it's a hole. Now, Has anybody ever stood in a literal hole? Most people have at some point, you know, as a kid, if it wasn't anything else, but as a kid, and you were digging a hole and you stood in it. So the essence of a hole is that things are starting to go lower and lower and lower. You're starting to get confined to an area. That hole is a certain amount of area. I think about the boys had a hole out front in our yard up in Hayfield, and they loved to jump in it and splash. But, I mean, that hole was in a certain amount of area. When you're in that hole, you're not free necessarily to move around the ground. You're getting in a particular place. And so we want to think about this hole. And, you know, I think about God meant for us to stand on solid ground. But the nature of it is that sometimes if we're not saved, we're in a hole. I mean, we're in a hole. But you know what? As a Christian, sometimes we get ourselves in little holes along the way. And it's not necessarily that we've just lost out with the Lord. That can happen. We're still alive, maybe spiritually and all, but we've just found ourselves in a little bit of a hole. And God's not normally the one that came down there with the shovel and dug it out for us. Normally, we're the ones that picked up the shovel, and maybe like a child, we were just thought, this looks like fun. Or maybe it wasn't so much fun thoughts in our mind, but we just thought, man, I think I'll do this. You know, and can we identify with that in life, that we have moments where we think, I'm just going to do it this way, or I'm just going to do this. And we're kind of picking up the shovel and digging a hole sometimes with those moments. All right? And so I think about what happens when we're in the hole. And we kind of realize maybe some of those moments where we said, I think I'll just handle it this way. And so we pick up that little shovel, so to speak, and we start doing a little bit of our own thing, and we start digging. And all of a sudden we realize we're a little lower than the ground around us, that somehow we're not quite where we're walking on level ground a minute ago. And we can have a couple of reactions. One is a good one that we'll talk about in a minute, but one of our reactions often is that we kind of say, well, you know, so to speak, I think I'll just dig a little bit more and maybe I'll find some solid ground here at one point. Maybe I'll start digging in, and there'll be a rock down here somewhere, and so I'm going to just dig a little bit and pretty soon I'll find a rock. You know, if I can liken that to us having found ourselves in a hole and just trying to fix it and patch it ourselves instead of depending on God. Okay, wait a minute. You weren't the one that picked up the shovel, Lord, but you're the one that's going to have to get me out of this hole to figure out how to get out of this place I'm in. Instead of that, we start trying to just fix it ourselves and handle it instead of handling it with prayer and considering before the Lord. And what we find with that is the hole just gets deeper. It's kind of like we're thinking somehow we're going to dig and end back up here, and it doesn't even really make sense. And I want us to let that sink in, how foolish it would be to keep digging in a hole and think somehow I'm going to end back up on level ground. I'm going to back up where the rock is. That we're just digging a hole. And even if you find something a little more solid on there, you're just getting deeper and deeper in your own situation. Well, we wouldn't do that. What would we do? We would climb back out of the hole. I mean, that's obviously, this hole is getting too deep and all. Well, I need to climb out of it. Well, that's what we need to do spiritually when we find ourselves in situations where things have gotten awkward. It's because I picked up the shovel and thought, maybe I'm going to dig a hole here. We need to learn to depend on God, because without that, the hole just gets deeper. As I said, we titled it Deliverance. See, that's what I'm talking about with this whole thing about not letting salvation, not letting that word, the definition of the word, go as far as it's really meant to go in our life. Because in those moments, sometimes we're not really thinking salvation like it's meant to be thinking. We're thinking, well, I'm saved and I need to figure out how to fix this. But what you need to do is let God deliver you out of your mess up and what you've just done. You need God to fix it. If you keep digging at the hole, it's just going to get worse. Let God be at peace. Say, Lord, I did it. I know I did it. I know it's my fault. But Lord, I also know you're the one that needs to help me know how to fix this. You're the one that needs to help me out of this hole. Because if not, then we're interfering with God's salvation in our life, so to speak. We're interfering with his deliverance in our life. So we need to seek the Lord in that. You know, our song book Psalm 189. I think last week it was that the third verse just really hit me strong. And then this morning it started coming back to me. I didn't even recognize where it was from first, but I'd like to read it again and talk about it a minute. It says, "Welcome the storms. My hope is abounding. Let the waves come. My anchor is sure. Fixed in the rock on which I'm standing, how can I fall when all is secure?" You know, this hope doesn't come from us fixing situations. You know, there is dirt all around, and when storms come, who yet has figured out how to make dirt not turn to mud when storms happen? The other day, I had parked my truck. I had driven my truck down by our flower beds, which is a little bit, not our flower beds, our gardens down there, to put some soil in there. We weren't quite finished, so I left my truck sitting there. And it rained all night. The dirt got really slick. It wasn't dirt anymore. It had a different substance. I couldn't go. I couldn't get to where I needed to be. I just couldn't do it. And that's what happens with dirt. But you know, the Lord is able to create a situation. By his nature, the dirt dried back up and I was able to get back up the next day. The Lord knew what it was going to take. All right, he already set up the plan for me. And as much as I tried to do something different, the fact was that that truck wasn't coming out of that spot until God let the ground dry again, or until, you know, it would not come out of there by itself. And so this confidence doesn't come from my skill as a driver. My confidence came from, let's just talk about that truck. My confidence that the truck wasn't going to be down there forever was not in my skill as a driver. It was in my knowledge of how God has created things, and that the ground was going to dry again and I'd be able to drive out of there. As a pilgrim for the Lord, my confidence doesn't come from my skill as a saved Christian of 30 years. It's not coming from that. And the minute that it begins to, then I'm in trouble. I'm going to create ruts, problems. I got a lot of nice peach trees down there. If I kept trying to spin around and get out of there, I probably would not have as many nice peach trees down there anymore. I would have just caused myself problems. And that's how it is with us as Christians. 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, it still doesn't happen by our skill as a driver. It happens by the hand of the Lord in our life. And the reason this person can write this song is not because they got some great skill as a Christian, but because they depended on the Lord and have found him worthy of depending on, and knew that he always had a plan. And by his plan, I will always stand on solid ground through the Lord. Thank the Lord that we can have that same kind of confidence. Welcome the storms. My hope is abounding. Let the waves come, my anchor is sure. Fixed in the rock on which I am standing, how can I fall when all is secure? And then it goes on and just says the rest of the song there. Wonderful peace I am possessing, victory through Christ I ever shall sing. So thank the Lord for that. We can have that same confidence in our life when we depend upon the Lord. So he said here, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. This person has this knowledge. And you know, when we truly have this knowledge and we find ourselves in holes, this is what we're going to do. I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You know, it makes me think of a verse over here in Psalm 72. Psalm 72, and we read 11 through 14. It says, yea, and when you read in the Bible, and I think we may know this, we may not, but as you see it speak of kings of the earth and things like that, when you realize that God has made us kings over our life, we have the choice of wearing our own crown and walking our own way, or we have the choice of laying that down and reigning through Christ. With Christ, we can reign forevermore, and we can reign in him, and that can get into a whole other message. But as we read this, let's take this in this way. It says 72:11, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. So all the kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy. And I hope, Lord, help us to get this thought out. I have a crown, and I can wear it all I want to. I can pick it back up and just live my life as a saved Christian. And that's going to veer off the course. You understand what I mean? I don't mean you can do that and be saved completely all the way. But sometimes in our frailties as humans, we make the mistake of trying to rein our own lives again sometimes in these situations. Not remembering that salvation means deliverance, and deliverance is of the Lord. But where a king is willing to bow down and say, I'm needy, you know, that takes something. That takes some humility. A king is somebody who has resources. You have resources. You have abilities. You have skills in all facets. I can say that about everybody here. So you can use them, and you can try to manage your life with them, and you can get a result. Anyways, that's not what you're really going to want out of life, but you can do that. Or you can bow down before the Lord. You can confess your need. And if the hole's a hole you dug yourself, you can admit that and say, Lord, it takes you, though, to deliver me from it. Lord, help me. And the Lord says he will spare the poor and needy, those who recognize the need. We're all, not one of us is a king of a nature that has no need. Not one of us has skills sufficient to do what it takes in this life to save our souls, to save our lives, to fix our problems, to fix who we are as a human, and to help us be what we need to be. Not one of us has that. We're all poor and needy. Do we recognize it? Do we bow down before the Lord in all situations, in all moments of our life, and say, Lord, help me? You know what I think about this situation, about this person, about this place. You know what I think ought to happen, but Lord, that's me, and that's limitations. God, you know exactly what needs to happen. So Lord, help me just to be what you're showing me to be here. And he says, if you'll do that, he'll save your soul. He'll redeem your soul. He'll continue to work his deliverance in your life. And every moment where we are willing to do that with our lives, the Lord continues to work his deliverance across the board for us. The only thing that ever gets in the way is our crown. When we try to put it, so to speak, back on our head, sometimes without even realizing it, when we stand back up, instead of just living low before the Lord in a state of telling the Lord, I still need you. I still need you even now today. I'm still a man in need of a Savior. I'm still in need of one who would walk beside me, who would handle my life, who would show me what to do. Lord, I don't want the reins in my hands. Amen. I want you to control the reins. Amen. So, back over in 130, it says, if thou, Lord, well, before we do that, I want to look at Psalm 115 in our song book. It says, mighty to save and mighty to keep, grace like the ocean, boundless and deep. Will you believe it? Will you receive it? Life everlasting reap. Through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Will you receive it? Here's the only place it's found. It's not found in anything else but in Christ. All right? Mighty to save by power divine. Mighty to keep in this evil time. Watching and praying. Trusting, obeying. Thus life is also blind. Through Jesus Christ. It's the only place. These words that are here. It says, mighty to save from sin here below. Mighty to conquer Satan, we know. In every trial or self-denial, Christ reigns o'er every foe. Amen. Everything you face or every internal struggle that you have, Christ has the ability to reign o'er every foe. But we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mighty to keep in life's darkest hour. Mighty to shield us from Satan's power. Then, do not falter. Stay on the altar. Christ is our strong high tower. Not me. I'm not the strong high tower. Christ is. So let me stay on the altar. Let me be the king who bows before him. Let me be the one who yields my life up to him for his purpose and what he sees as best, so that I might have his deliverance, not just in a moment, but every day and every moment of my life. I can live in a place where I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be used. I'm ready for whatever the Lord sees needs to happen in my life, that I might stand on the rock and be secure. All right? Psalms 130 again says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities and sins, but if he should mark iniquities, this word iniquity basically yields from a word. It means crookedness. It means things that aren't just straight, aren't just exactly what they need to be. Lord, if you were going to mark that, who could stand? If that's who you were, what hope is there? What does it matter if I fear the Lord or not? If the Lord marks iniquities and crookedness and things that aren't straight, aren't stable, aren't what they should, perfectly what they should be in my life, if he marks the holes I've dug by picking the shovel back up and wait a minute, Lord help me. If he was to mark that against me, who could stand? Nobody. Nobody. We couldn't stand here today. But we have hope in Christ. And he's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be feared. He's worthy to be reverenced because there's hope in him. It says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Yeah, you shouldn't have picked up the shovel. Yeah, you shouldn't have dug the hole. But guess what? If you're willing to humble yourself before me, I can fix this. All right?
Yes.
And so then he says, as the psalmist realizes this, he says, I wait for the Lord. You know, Acts 4 and the 8th verse. Let's turn over there and read this. And keep your place there in Psalms 130. You may have picked up that we'll be going back to it some. But Psalms 4 and 8 through 12. This is where they're called an account as to what power they've done the works. The disciples, the apostles have done this work, and they've created this uproar. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You know, this was a physical hole that this man was in. And Peter and the disciples were there, and they spoke the words, and the man was healed. But it wasn't by their power. And it wasn't by anything that the man had necessarily done, except being willing to believe. All right? It was by Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught. This is the rock. You know, we're trying to find the rock. Well, the Lord's like, I am the rock. You want to know where I am? You know, you think about hide and go seek, and you're out trying to find somebody, and you know who knows where that person is? That person. You know who can find that person every time? That person. You know who can find the rock every time in your life? It's Christ. You know who can't? I can't. I can't always. And I never. If I stumble onto the rock, that's what just happened. I stumbled onto the rock. The Lord knows where he is.
Yes.
The Lord is who I depend on. I say, Lord, where are you? Lord, help me. Just like Peter said, Lord, save me, lest I perish. All right? So he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Stop trying to dig yourself out of the hole. And see, this is where we miss things like this, because we think of salvation as just a moment, and not that salvation is deliverance from this world. And obviously, it needs to carry on past just a moment in my life. If the Lord's truly going to save me, then he's going to have to go with me. And he's going to have to be in control of my life. If he's not in control of my life, if I'm fixing everything, then he can't work for my deliverance. He can't keep me on the rock. The Lord is who delivers me. All right? And I follow him. I don't show him, hey, it, over here, God. Okay, yeah, right there. That's not how it works.
No.
The Lord knows where he is. And the Lord leads us to that place in our lives. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven or authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right? Psalms 130 and 5, it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I'm depending on Jesus. Can we, I hope we can just see, I get the mental image of the word dependence just flooding through all of these scriptures here, that this person has come to a place and they're like, the Lord has to do it in my life. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Lord is here to save you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to keep you from all the things in your life, from all the sins that were committed. He has washed you clean. And from all the crookedness, and by crookedness, I'd almost want to use a different word. I want you to see a mental image of a building that has studs that are bent this way and that way and this way. And the truth of us is the Lord cleanses us is that we have studs that are not straight and aligned and support pieces that aren't where they need to be to stand the storms of life. And if we just try to go, I got saved and now I've just got to figure it out. Well, those things stay the way they are, and pretty soon things happen. Loads hit the house. There's loads put on the house and things start to crumble a little bit. The Lord knows what needs to be fixed first. You know, if you got a house that's falling apart, my boys and anybody with those kind of skills can come in and they can look at it and they can say, okay, we got to get this first. What just happened with the underneath our building here? There was something that needed to happen first. Somebody who didn't know may have come over here and they'd gone along this wall that was going out and started trying to fix it with no anchor first put in on the other side. It would have been disaster. It wouldn't have fixed anything. But the people that knew, they put anchors in. And then they attached to that and pulled close. The Lord is the one that knows how to get us on the rock. He is the one that can redeem us from the things that aren't straight, that cause us problems. He knows how to fix those and put them straight and make them solid in our life. Where there was a problem that kept creating issues and made the ground muddier and muddier and muddier and you couldn't get traction. The Lord knows how to take that very spot and put things in line where suddenly it supports weight. It actually helps others in your life. So Lord, help us to truly depend on him for deliverance in our lives. You pray for me.